Dear brothers and sisters, as we know it, a parable is a pictorial story intended to enlighten us about ourselves. It is a story that has the particularity of shedding a bright light on our lives and of bringing something new. But today, it doesn't work. The parable we have just heard seems to contradict all the rest of the gospel teaching on money, on honesty. This story told by Jesus is indeed a matter of false invoices, a matter which, instead of ending badly for the one who acts badly, rather ends with the praise of the master, who is nevertheless dispossessed of part of his possessions, and a kind of invitation to adopt the attitude of the servant. It is hard to understand it. So, in order to comprehend the meaning of this story, let us emphasize first that Jesus does not say that this man is good and that he has done good in everything. Rather, he says the opposite. Jesus describes this man as lazy. He doesn't want to work. As proud. He doesn't want to beg because he would be ashamed. He is not ashamed to steal, however. And that is why he will rip off his employer. Jesus calls him dishonest steward. The terms dishonest he uses is the Greek word adika, one of many words that refer to sin in scripture. Finally, Jesus puts him in the category of children of this world, facing the category of children of light, meaning that this man is definitely not part of people enlightened by the grace of Christ. So, brothers and sisters, the end of the story challenges us about our sense of service. For it is a question of service in the mouth of Jesus. No servants, he says, no servant can serve two masters. The truth is that we humans are servants. All of us. If we are not servants of a person, so to say, we are servants of our ambitions and desires. Each and every man, woman, and child on this planet is devoted to one, maybe more, masters. A man may be a servant of his job. His highly ambitious mindset to accumulate more wealth and fame. A woman may be servant to her household chores and social gatherings, while a child is likely to be driven by his parents or her parents to be a servant of ambition, be enslaved to the race of being better than the others, to be good in both mathematics and art. However, while all of us have knowingly or unknowingly willfully agreed to become a part of the servitude, if we are forced to choose one true master over the others, we will always, always have this one master that will be preferred over the others. So, brothers and sisters, Jesus again says to us, no servant can serve two masters. He will hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. If you are willing to be the children of God, and if we are willing to serve God, then we cannot, as it is said today, serve mammon. Mammon is a Syriac word used to denote wealth, possessions, and riches. Mammon was the name of a pagan god whose idol was worshipped for his power of material riches. And note that the two masters, God and Mammon, are absolute opposites of each other. For the works of one interferes against the works of the others. The works of one contradicts, goes against the works of the other. I tell you, says Jesus, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Who are these friends who will precede us and welcome us into heaven? Are we talking about dishonest people who know how to handle money on earth and make good investments? No. They won't be rich people in the eyes of our Lord Jesus. They will be the poor, those who have nothing to give us, those who wait for us to give them what we have within us, what we have too often keep to ourselves, because we all have something to give. We are all rich of something, rich in something. So these friends are those with whom we will share, not those to whom we give crumbs, but to whom we give of ourselves, of our time, of our wealth. So, brothers and sisters, let us act in this way, in works of sharing, of service, welcoming our brothers and sisters unconditionally, without judgment, but with kindness and generosity. May mammon never take the place of others in all things. Otherwise, in our behavior, God becomes the instrument of our will. Otherwise, we use him to exist in the eyes of others and to serve our own self-interests. Thus, in our journey of faith, let us not forget that everything we have and everything we do here on earth is a reflection of some spiritual reality and some spiritual value. If we are doing good, useful, and constructive things with our time and money, it reflects a positive spiritual value. If we are doing bad, useless, and destructive things with our time and money, it reflects a negative spiritual value. So once again, as we understood it, let us not put mammon in the place of our brothers and sisters. For there alone, where our brother is, where our sister is, there God is waiting for us. There God is present. Amen.